So I'm not sure if this is a good day to, or a good morning to have this particular class, because has everybody recovered from the news this morning? Or is everybody in recovery? We were remembering at breakfast about, I think it was something like 10 years ago, at the end of one particular season, Baba basically said, your effort's not very good. Your stage is not very good. Your progress is not very good. So next year, I'm not coming. In essence. We like to think he was a little tired and he wanted to take a year off. But I don't think that bit is true. And so he didn't come for a whole season. And he asked us, will you still come? And will you still come to the mountain? Will you still make the pilgrimage? And most of us did, actually. We still came, even though Baba didn't come. And we used the time to have some very powerful bhatis, some very powerful meditation and yoga. And we use the time to get to know each other as a spiritual family a little bit more. And it was a very powerful and very memorable year. So you know the old saying, one door closes and another door opens. One opportunity which seems to slip away is actually pulling behind it an opportunity for something else. And that something else will, of course, be our own choice, or our own personal choice. So maybe this particular session is an opportunity to reflect and take away a little plan, process that you can work with during the next few days or few weeks. Translation in Spanish. Portuguese, no Portuguese, no Portuguese. I think the Portuguese box is empty, so if you would like to go and translate, that would be fantastic. Oh, Spanish, the Spanish is also empty. Where is Spanish? Yes, no, yes, no. Hands up those who are Spanish. Do we have any Spanish translators here? Fantastic. I think Spanish translation has just arrived. Okay, Spanish okay? Wonderful. So, I think everyone is familiar now with what we call the immune system. Certainly at a physical level. At a physical level, within our bodies, we have this very efficient and very special group of cells who, as soon as they hear something is wrong in some part of the body, it is their job to go and fix it. And I guess you're all aware of the idea that the body is just cellular energy. It's just many cells of twirling vortexes of energy. When the scientists explore the material of the body and they put it under a microscope and they go closer and closer and closer to a cell, then they discover, actually, there is nothing there except for energy. And it's just a vortex of energy. And these cells, when they're healthy, they vibrate at their perfect pitch, their perfect level, their perfect frequency. And so when they're vibrating at their perfect frequency, they're called healthy. But then sometimes, some cells, usually begins with one cell, it stops vibrating at its perfect frequency. And it goes rogue. I'm not sure how rogue translates in other languages, but it loses its perfect vibration. And it becomes unhealthy. And then it's not long before it spreads. It influences the cells around it to do the same, to follow, basically. A little bit like someone negative coming into a group of very positive individuals, and the negative person starts complaining and moaning and whining, and it's not long before the group itself is complaining, moaning, and whining. And in a certain part of the body, there are the cells of the immune system, and it's their job to detect when something goes wrong in some part of the body. It's like they have a little aerial. And as soon as we get the signal something is wrong, it's their job to go to the location of the unhealthy cells and to do one of three things. To either fix them, expel them, or contain them. So as soon as they become aware that something is wrong in the energy of some cells in the body, they go to those cells and their job is to examine and realize exactly what is wrong and then to change, to transform the unhealthy back into the healthy. And this is the job of the immune system. Three steps, which I'll come back to in a moment. And we now know that we can help our immune system or we can hinder it. And we're all very familiar now with the idea that your diet is a huge factor in maintaining the healthiness of the cells of your body, maintaining the vibration, the frequency of each individual cell, is influenced by the food we eat. And that's why you don't, ever eat junk food. That's true, isn't it? You don't ever eat junk food. No crisps, no chocolates, no chips. Do I have chips in there? Chips. Maybe not chips, okay. And so we deliberately eat healthy food to maintain the healthiness, the vibration of the cells of the body. And there's lots of statistics now which prove that the quality of the food defines the quality of your health. There was a recent documentary made in America, and they studied people who practiced fasting. In other words, not eating anything for 2 days a week. And over a period of time, they noticed that as soon as the fasting has reached a certain level, that's when the body starts healing itself. Yeah. And so the principle is not just eating the right food, but the right quantity of food. How else do we hinder? We now know that we can hinder the effectiveness of our immune system by the quality of our thinking. In other words, if you put a lot of negative thoughts, the energy of your mind goes into your body, the psychosomatic effect, then over time that affects the vibration, the quality, the healthiness of the cells in our body. And there are many anecdotal stories now of people with cancer, and if they catch the cancer before it reaches the exponential growth, if they catch it here and they change their thinking and they change their diet, they heal essentially, or at least they help the body to heal itself. And of course, we all now know that if we get physically too tired consistently over time, then this also affects our immune system. And the tiredness of the energy of our body allows those little cells that are about to go off their true vibration, it just encourages them to go a little further. And before we know it, we have what's called disease, physical disease. And we all know now the exact nature of many, many physical diseases, because we all have available, at the click of a mouse, access to just about every known disease on the planet. And that's why many people spend hours researching their symptoms on Google. Hands up those here who have never ever researched an ache, a pain, a headache, something wrong with the body on Google. I think just about everybody has. And so we have this tremendous resource. I'm not sure whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on how you use it. But today we're not talking about the immune system of our body. We're kind of exploring the idea of the immune system of the soul or consciousness. Because the process is almost exactly the same. Three steps, really. Three steps. The immune system of the body is like this great little bunch of souls whose job is to do three things. Be aware when something goes wrong. Go and realize the exact nature of the disease. And the third step is to transform it, to change it, or to heal. Same thing, to heal it. So within our consciousness, we also have this system built in of awareness. And for those of you who don't have a word in your language for awareness, maybe I could say a good equivalent is to be conscious of. To be conscious of the flowers, to be aware of the flowers. I'm aware there are flowers there. I'm conscious that there are flowers there. So those of you who don't have a translation for awareness, it means be conscious of. Then the second step is realization. And the third step is transformation. Transformation. Let me give you a very mundane example. Imagine you're driving along and you know your destination. You know exactly where you want to go in your mind. And yet, as you're driving along, there's a feeling of uneasiness. You become aware, you become conscious that you're feeling uneasy, but you don't know why. And after a while, as you look at this feeling, you don't ignore it, you're still driving, and you're just looking at this feeling and wondering, why am I feeling a little uneasy? There's a moment when you realize that the sun is shining in the left-hand side of the car, and you know that the sun should be shining in the right-hand side of the car. And you realize what? You're going in the wrong direction. And so what do? You stop the car, you turn around, and you change the direction of your travel. So in a very simple example, I become aware, uneasy feeling, I realize why, and I change the direction I'm going in. Awareness, realization, transformation. Let's go a little deeper. Let's say you become aware that you're very irritated and even angry at someone. You become aware that there's a feeling of anger present towards someone. And so you look at that feeling and you look at it with the question, why and where is this anger coming from? And you realize, as you look at it, you realize actually it's not them that's making me feel angry, it's me. And I look behind that realization, I just another layer, and I notice actually I'm angry because they're not doing what I want. So I realize I'm the creator of my anger, my unhappiness, and it's because they're not doing what I want, and that's because I believe they should do what I want. And so I realize the cause of my anger, and only from the realization can I change. And what do I do to change? What do I need to realize to change? I need to realize that other people are not designed to do what I want. In other words, I realize I can't control another human being. I can only control myself. And so when I realize that, I'm able to change, to transform the energy of my consciousness. So I don't know if you see the three steps. Awareness, realization, transformation. If you want to remember it in three letters, in English at least, the art. The art of healing your consciousness. And it's... Well, we're not talking now about disease, but what we are talking about is dis-ease. The body, it generates disease, but consciousness experiences dis-ease. I'm not sure how that translates. It works in English, but I'm not sure if it works in other languages. And dis-ease and consciousness are those feelings of uneasiness. Yeah, and you could say feelings of stress or tension or sorrow, but dis-ease of consciousness. So the principle is just the same, except in the body, it's as if the helper cells of the immune system are separate and they have this special task. To be aware something's going wrong, to go, to look, to realize what's wrong and to change it. And so it's like there's a separate group of cells to do that. But in consciousness, nothing is separate. Yeah. Everything is one. Yeah. And that's why in consciousness, the immune system of consciousness is consciousness. The immune system of the soul is the self. Yeah. And how well that immune system works depends on the quality, the clarity of your awareness, your ability to be conscious of dis-ease. Yeah, it sounds easy in theory, but most of us, we're not very aware that there is the presence of dis-ease in our consciousness, because we've become very comfortable being uncomfortable. In our consciousness, we become accustomed to feeling stress and worry and tension, and it's like that's not unnatural for many of us. And so we're not very aware of our dis ease. So now I'm going to give you a few examples of dis-ease that occurs in consciousness. And the cause of all dis-ease in consciousness is the same. Yeah, it's the same. It's an infection. Just like most of the diseases in the body are caused by infection, so dis-ease in consciousness is caused by an infection. And all dis-ease in consciousness is caused by virus. We're infected by a virus. It's a little bit like in computers. You're aware that a virus in a computer is just a very bad code or a very well constructed code with a malevolent motive. Yeah. And we all now know that viruses exist, that when they get into the body, they are a powerful influence on the energies of the cells of the body. But what's the virus that infects consciousness, that causes dis-ease in consciousness? And that virus is called belief. Yeah? Belief. And most of the viruses that we carry in our consciousness are subconsciously. They're carried outside of our day-to-day, moment-to-moment awareness. Yeah. Let's look at a few diseases. And as we look at a few of these diseases, I'm going to use the physical disease as a metaphor for the dis-ease that happens in the soul. Physical disease, metaphor. The most powerful dis-ease in our consciousness is addiction. Yeah, it's an addiction. And just as the helper cells in the physical body put up their aerial and they become aware that something's going wrong somewhere in the body, so how do we become aware that the disease of addiction is taking over our consciousness? And it's the moment we become aware of desire. Yeah? That's the symptom of addiction. The symptom of addiction is desire. I want something. Now, I know that for most of you here, you don't have any physical desires anymore. I'm kind of aware of that because I'm talking to a very spiritually enlightened audience. So you're free of physical desire. And so what we're really talking about here are the deeper, more subtle desires that we kind of develop. And it might be that we have these desires in a spiritual context. Just like we say, I want a bigger car or a nicer house, sometimes we kind of think, I want more knowledge. Yeah? I want more power. I want, what else is there? I want more spiritual company. I want more acknowledgement of how well I'm doing on my spiritual journey. Usually, in the thinking, there is the word more. I want more. And this is the cause. So if I look in the face of any desire, I will realize behind it the infection, the belief that is infecting my consciousness and is giving rise to the desire. And of course, the belief that's infecting my consciousness is the belief that I need more. I need more. More time, more attention, more power, more insight, more anything that comes after more. So I realized that's where the desire, the uneasiness, the dis-ease that I'm feeling, I want more, is coming from that belief. And so now, how do I transform? How do I change my consciousness? Well, there's an old saying, belief is not the truth. Yeah? Belief is what we create when we lose awareness of what is true. Yeah? The truth about belief is in the word belief, in English. In the word belief, there are three letters, L, I, E. Most beliefs are lies. And that's why they are the infection of our consciousness. So, what do I need to realize to transform? I need to realize what is true. And until I realize what is true, then the belief will continue to cause dis-ease in my consciousness. And so the realization of the truth, what is the truth? The truth is, I need nothing more ever. I do not need anything. My body needs food, clothing, shelter, no problem. My body needs to be taken care of, but I do not need anything. And the moment I realize that is true, then all desire fades away. Yeah. And so the dis-ease of addiction will fade away. Because desire is the symptom of addiction. Making sense? Yeah? So what else? The second dis-ease is called blindness. Did you know that you are all frequently blind? And what's the symptom of blindness? I don't mean physically blind, but your consciousness becomes blind. Why? I become aware. What do I become aware of? I can't see. I can't think straight. I can't see clearly. I can't make good decisions. So what is it that's causing my blindness? Yeah. Not physically, but in my consciousness. Do you know those moments when you can't see clearly and you can't decide what to do? It's a little bit like you're driving down the road or you're walking down the road. It's a dusty road and a car rushes past and it kicks up the dust and the dust blinds you and you can't see physically. But what is it that blinds my consciousness? It's called emotion. Whenever I become emotional, then have you noticed? I can't think straight, I can't focus, I can't make good quality decisions because of the emotion. Very simple definition of emotion is agitation of mind. What's agitation but dis-ease in my consciousness? So I'm now going to be aware, there's an emotional state in my consciousness. So instead of running away from it or suppressing it, I look at it. I'm aware of it. I become fully conscious of it. And as I look behind the emotion, I realize, I see with my real eye, there's a moment I see the cause of the emotion. And the cause of emotion is, do you know the cause of emotion? One word. Attachment. All emotion comes from attachment. Yeah. That's why if you notice when you get attached to anything or anyone, and something happens to what you're attached to, it feels like it's happening to you. And there's a disturbance. Don't do that. What are you doing this? Don't go away. You damaged my house. And there's a reaction. Reaction means emotion. Separate love for a moment. Love is not an emotion. Love is consciousness at its highest vibration. There's no agitation when I'm in a state of lovefulness. I'm not emotional. I'm not reacting. There's no cloud when there is love. But there's clouds of dust when I'm emotional. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And I see and I realize attachment. I make the connection. And I look at the attachment, and what's the belief that sits behind the attachment? The infection of consciousness is one belief. You all know this. We say this quite a lot. This one word. Mine. Yeah, that's mine. You're mine. This is mine. This belongs to me. You belong to me. Yeah? And the belief that sits there is the belief that I can possess. That I can possess something, someone, somewhere. And that's the cause, that infection. That belief is infecting my consciousness and causing the emotion. The truth will set me free. So what is the truth that's going to free me from the dis-ease of emotion? Simple truth. Again, you all know the theory. Truth is easy in theory, but not so easy to realize within myself. And the truth is, I possess nothing. No one. Ever. Nothing is ever mine. Nothing. And when that truth is realized, there is the transformation of my consciousness. And only then is there the restoration of my true nature, which is peaceful and loving. And when I'm free of the infection, the belief that that's mine and you're mine and this is mine, when that's gone, no disturbance, no emotion, and I am now able to be open and loving and peaceful and free. So what else is there? Ah, yes. Did you all know that you have what's called heart disease? Not this heart. The heart of consciousness. We all suffer from heart disease. What is the symptom of heart disease? Dis-ease. Not the physical heart, but consciousness. What's the symptom of heart dis-ease? Long face. What's the symptom? Sadness. I can tell now, some of you right now are suffering from heart disease. You're looking very sad. Oh my God. And sadness means there's a heaviness in the heart. Yeah, there's a heaviness in the heart. Yeah, it's like some people say, I love you from the bottom of my heart. But actually, what's at the bottom of our hearts when we have heart disease is heaviness. It's weighing me down. And the symptom, the sign, I become aware, I'm feeling sad. There's a sadness, there's a heaviness here. Most of us, our awareness does not pick up the heaviness because it's been a habit for a long time. It's been with me for so long. I'm a bit sad, a bit happy, a bit unhappy. And it just feels natural, you know. And it's okay. I don't really know anything else. But of course, the more we connect with each other, the more you meditate, the more we look in the mirror of the relationships we have at a spiritual context, the more aware we become, actually, I'm a bit heavy, I'm a bit sad. And of course, the awareness, then, I don't hide my sadness now, I want to look at it. I want to see behind. I'm interested. Where is this dis-ease coming from? And I notice that behind the sadness, the belief that is infecting my consciousness is the belief that, what's the belief behind sadness? The belief that I have, what happens in my consciousness before I feel a bit sad? It's the belief that I have lost something. Do you notice? Sadness is always comes after the belief that I've lost something. And it's that belief that's infecting my consciousness. And so I realize that's what's making my consciousness heavy. And so what is the truth that will set me free? The truth is, I have, you have, absolutely nothing to lose. Is that true? I have nothing to lose. Do you have anything you can lose? Yeah. Hello? Can't lose anything. We have nothing to lose. And so when that truth is realized, then actually the heaviness goes and the lightness returns. Yeah. But of course it's easy theory, but the realization, the seeing of that truth means I usually have to keep looking. Making the connection. This is the cause of the disease and there's the truth. I keep having to empower that truth in my consciousness. Give that energy and not give energy to the belief that's infecting my consciousness. Very often, you also feel paralyzed. Did you know that? You suffer from paralyses. Not physical paralyses, but mental paralyses. Paralyses of consciousness, of the self. And so I become aware that I'm paralyzed. What's the symptom of paralyses? What's the symptom? Think of rabbit caught in the headlights. What's the symptom? Fear. It's fear. It's the moment I generate or I twist the energy of my consciousness into fear. Because remember, the fear is not coming from outside. The fear is my creation. And so now I don't run away from it. I don't ignore it. The immune system, step one, I become aware there's fear, there's tension, there's worry, there's anxiety, all different forms of fear, and I look at it, and I look behind the fear, and I notice the belief. I realize there's the belief that's causing the fear. And the belief is, are you aware of the cause of all fear? All fear. Tension, worry, anxiety, terror, panic. All faces of fear. One infection. One belief. And the belief is, I'm going to lose something. Sadness is always in the past. Fear is always in the future. And it's always about losing something. I'm going to lose my reputation if they keep saying that. I'm going to lose that person I like. So I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose the money. I'm going to lose. It's always fear of loss. So there it is. There's the belief. Wow. Always. And so now I see the fear, I see the belief, and I realize, and I need to then find the truth. The truth will set me free. The truth will heal my consciousness, will restore my consciousness. And the truth is, well, it's the same truth. I have nothing to lose, because nothing is ever mine. Isn't that the essence of all spirituality? Not just what we do here. Isn't that the essence of soul consciousness? Can the soul possess anything? No. Therefore, can the soul lose anything? No. So each time I'm looking, whoa, I'm just allowing that belief to kick in and infect my consciousness again. Ah, now I see. There's the truth behind realize, transform. Ah, yes. Did you know that you become frequently insane? Did you know that? Yeah. Clinically insane. What's the symptom of insanity in consciousness? What's the symptom? The symptom is anger. Anytime you become angry, irritation, frustration, resentment, jealousy, envy. Yeah. These are all forms of anger, different faces, different vibrations of anger. And any time they arise, there's the dis-ease. I'm frustrated. Anger. And in that moment, well, it's insanity, and the symptom is anger. And if I look in the anger, and I look behind the anger, I realize the belief is, what's the belief that I'm carrying? The belief is, I can control other people. I can control the events in the world. Yeah. And if I look behind that belief, you'll notice actually the belief is, if other people do what I want, then I will be very happy. Yeah. If you do what I want, I'll be very happy. If you don't do what I want, I'm going to be very unhappy. I'm going to be angry. Now, where did we allow ourselves to be infected by this belief? Usually when we're very young. Happens very innocently. Mum and Dad say, if you do what I want, I'll be very happy. But if you don't do what I want, I'll be very unhappy. Just little moments like that. And that's where we learn to believe. Two beliefs. Number one, that we are responsible for our parents' happiness. And that one belief stays with us for the rest of our life in our consciousness. And we believe we're responsible for other people's happiness. So what happens? You're not happy? Oh my God, you're not happy. Oh, well, if you're not happy, I can't be happy, because I'm meant to make you happy. Why are you not happy? Why are you not happy? You should be happier. Look at all the work I'm doing to make you happy. Why are you not being as happy as I think you should be? And there I am. I'm suffering in my consciousness because people are not doing what I expect. What I want. Same thing. Expectation and desire. Same thing. Yeah. So I realize this is what is causing my dis-ease in my consciousness. So I realize now I have to find the truth. The truth will heal my consciousness, transform my consciousness, and the truth is actually two very deep truths. And if you allow these truths to heal your consciousness, your life will transform. I guarantee it. 99% guaranteed. And if it doesn't, you will get your money back. And the two truths are, you know this, I cannot control anyone else. I can only control myself. And number two, who's responsible for my happiness? It's always me. Yeah, it's always me. No one ever is responsible for my happiness. It's not other people. It's not the weather. It's not the toli. It's not the food. It's not river. Well, you know. It's always me. This then allows me to stand at the doorway of true freedom, real freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the tyranny of belief, the beliefs that are infecting my consciousness. So this is insanity. Anger is the sign of insanity. I'm trying to do what I can never ever do, change others or get others to make me happy. What else is there? Yes, have you ever noticed you are frequently crippled? Yeah, you crippled. Did you know that? Some more than others. And this very much depends on your journey to this moment. Not physically crippled, but our consciousness is crippled. And the symptom of being crippled is guilt. Yeah? When you feel, you become aware, you become conscious of the presence of guilt. I'm feeling guilty. Yeah? And if I look behind the guilt, I see the belief. I have done something bad, therefore I am a bad person. Yeah, you know that moment? Again, it's just learned when we're young and we absorb the belief. When one minute someone big says, you're a good little boy, you're a good little girl. And we go away with this little image, don't we? Oh, I'm good, yes, I'm good, I'm a good little boy. And then 10 minutes later, that big person said, naughty, you shouldn't have done that. You're a bad little boy. And in that moment, actually, I experienced the three emotions of guilt. There's three emotions like a matrix in guilt. Sadness, anger, and fear. They're all together in guilt. Do you notice that? If you look into your guilt, you'll notice the presence of these three. Why sadness? Sadness is loss, remember? And of course, what have I lost? I've lost this image of being good because they said I'm bad and I believe them and so, oh no, I'm not good anymore, I'm bad. So I've lost the sense of myself as being good. Yeah. And then of course, sadness, it turns very quickly into anger. And it's not anger at someone else now, it's anger at myself. I direct the anger at myself. I'm so angry, I shouldn't have done the bad thing and made myself lose the good. Did you notice that? But then the anger doesn't stay. Very quickly the anger turns into fear. And it's the fear that someone may find out. And so fear is always lost. So if someone finds out, I might lose my reputation in the eyes of others. You see, it happens just like this, very quickly. But if you can slow it down, you'll notice that when I feel guilty, it's as if I'm temporarily crippled. I'm just completely, can't really move and talk and connect with people. It's like I'm a little crippled. And then there's the three emotions, the dis-ease, the emotional dis-ease. And behind it, I'm a bad person, the belief that I'm a bad person. But hey, you know the truth, don't you? Don't you? Don't you know the truth? The eternal, beautiful, perfect, original, gorgeous, loving being that you are. You know that truth, don't you? Yeah? Or are you just believing that? Because if you just believe you're a soul, it won't change anything. You get that? It has to be realized to be true. Yeah. And so the truth is, I'm not bad, I'm not dark. Actually, I'm not bad or good. I'm neither bad or good. These are just ideas. And I'm not an idea. I'm a real live being. Yeah. And so I transcend. And this is transformation. Transcend the form, the action, the action of transcending the form that my consciousness is taking. And what's the form my consciousness is taking in this moment? It's the belief that I'm bad. I want to be good again. I want to be good. I don't want to be here. I want to be there. But actually, I'm not bad or good. I'm not an idea. These are just ideas. They're just images. And I'm not an image. I'm a creator of images. I'm the master creator. And so I rise above the form of these ideas, I transcend, and here I am here, the soul, the creator, the master. Not good or bad, I am. See it? And that's the point that we touch in meditation, after maybe the effort of awareness and detachment, we touch that space where we're above thoughts, beliefs, ideas, and images. They don't affect us. And I taste what we talk about, which is soul consciousness. And then there is transformation, awareness, realization, transformation. The immune system of the soul. Not separate. It's me. It's I. I am my own immune system. So now it's your turn. It's your turn. You've seen the pattern. You've seen the process. So now I'm going to give you three diseases of consciousness. Okay? And then it's your job to see if you can see the main symptom. What's the symptom of this disease? In other words, what would you be aware of that's causing dis-ease in your consciousness? What's the symptom? And what's the belief that is infecting your consciousness that's causing this disease? And then what is the truth that will free you, that will heal your consciousness? So you ready? You got your pens and your paper? Because it's 12 o'clock, it's the middle of the morning, it's hot, the energy's running down, lunch has not arrived, and there's a few people going, that's okay, that's all right. So just to get the brain cells working a little bit, here's three diseases. Yeah, number one is incontinence. You all know what physical incontinence is. When someone has physical incontinence, they're always rushing to the bathroom. So what is the incontinence of consciousness? Everyone, does that translate okay? Incontinence? Yeah. The second one is allergy. You know the body has allergies and certain symptoms appear. So what is an allergy of consciousness? And the third one is indigestion. Indigestion, you know, happens when certain conditions appear in your stomach. But in consciousness, what is indigestion of consciousness? So you want the symptom, the belief that is the infection that's causing that symptom, and the truth. So you have to be aware of the symptom, look behind to realize the belief that's infecting, and then apply the truth for transformation. Do you want to do that for a few moments? Just on your own, just on your own. Just a moment for reflection. And just see from your own experience, see if you can see the symptom, the belief that is the infection, and the truth that will heal your consciousness, transform your consciousness. Try it. That's good. So could I ask you then to get with one or two other people, and just compare notes, and see if you've got anything in common. Just one or two other people, compare notes and see if you've got anything in common. Hello, good morning, how are you? Who are you? I am. And then conversation. Don't be shy. Good. Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's good. So let's see if we have anything in common, and there's no right answers here, but let's see what might be possible answers. With incontinence, the symptom of incontinence for me is someone who's always talking, and prior to the talking, they're thinking. They can't stop thinking, can't stop talking. It's all right. It's as if they can't control their talking. So I look at the dis-ease because there's an uneasiness, talking. And behind it, there is the belief. What's the belief? That I need to be affirmed. I need to be listened to and affirmed to feel okay in myself. I need to be affirmed by others. That's why in our cappuccino conversations, we like to surprise people. Have you noticed that? Do you know? Can I tell you? Oh, it was so shocked. Oh, you're shocked too. I knew you would be shocked. See, I knew something. You see, I can shock you. And then, of course, what's the truth? I realize that I'm wanting to be affirmed. I believe I need to be affirmed. And the truth is, what's the truth that will set me free? It's the truth that I am complete. I don't need to be completed. I don't need to feel complete by getting anything from anyone. I am complete. What am I trying to affirm? My true sense of self. I'm searching for a sense of identity from the other. Talking, and then they're going, oh, really? And so I'm looking for them to tell me who I am. Ah, you're special. You know something I don't know. Oh, you're so special. And the truth is, I am already complete. And allergy, you all know allergies, don't you? Allergy. The allergy is in the context of our relationships. Just like the body has allergies, when it reacts to food, it reacts to things we put in it. What do we react to in our consciousness? Mostly it's other people. Do you have other people to whom you are allergic? You know that person who just has to walk in the room, not you again. And we become resistantly reactive. Is that right? There's a reaction. We might be good at disguising it inside. I'm not going to show you, hello, are you okay? Yeah, nice to see you. But inside we're going, And so I'm uneasy. There's a dis-ease in my consciousness. So I look behind it to realize the belief is, could be a number of beliefs. They should be more like me. Maybe that's one belief. Their personality should be more like mine. Or their personalities should be not like this, it should be like that. Yeah. They should be more like that and not like this. Yeah. And so what's the truth that will set me free? Everyone is designed to create a different personality. Or isn't diversity beautiful? Or what else is there? Accepting and embracing each one as they are is what my true nature, which is love, does. Accepting and embracing everyone as they are is what my true nature, love, is designed to do. Yeah. And when I act from that truth, the truth of my nature, the dis-ease is gone. Yeah. So I don't resist, the allergy's gone, and I accept each one as they are. So if I'm resisting, I have to look at why I can't accept. And there's the infection, the belief. They shouldn't be like this, they should be like that, they shouldn't be doing this. And then finally, indigestion. Do you know when you have physical indigestion? The reason is usually what? Why do we have physical indigestion? Because we've eaten too much, too quickly. Usually. Too much, too quickly. And the stomach cannot process all the different ingredients, and so it kind of comes up. And so what's the equivalent for consciousness? We live in the age of far too much information. Is that right? So what are we always consuming now? What is the modern world consuming faster than ever before? Information. You all know the Bermuda Triangle? Do you all know the Bermuda Triangle? It's where things are lost. People, boats and trains and planes, they're lost. And for some reason, they're never seen again. But we have our personal Bermuda Triangle. Yeah? And the personal one is food, shelter and clothing. And that's where we lose most of our money. But the modern Bermuda Triangle is where we lose most of our time and where we give ourselves indigestion. Yeah, the modern Bermuda Triangle, we lose most of our time and we give ourselves indigestion. Emails, Facebook, and Twitter. Sorry, and Google. 'Cause what do? We consume all this information about other people, about what's happening around the world, and what they're doing, and what's so much information. And then the more information we put into our consciousness, the more we feel uneasy, the more confused, the more worried, the more, so many symptoms of indigestion. And what's the belief that sits behind? The belief is, do you notice? I need to know what's going on. I need to know what these people are doing. Two clicks of a mouse gives you access to all your friends. I have 1,000 friends. I've only met 5, but I have 1,000 friends. And in 2 clicks of a mouse, I can find out what they're all saying and thinking and doing, and I take it, and I can get the news, I can get the views, I can, it consumes so much. And so I get indigestion, and I feel uneasy, there's disease. So what's the truth that will set me free, that will heal my energy, the energy of my consciousness? The truth is, all I need to know, I already know. All I need to know, I already know. What does Baba say? Baba says, all knowledge is in your intellect. I remember hearing that almost 30 years ago, and a bell went, yes, I get that. I don't practice it, but I realized that. And so I took him at his word. And for me, my spiritual journey is remembering what I already know. That's why I'm here. That's why I come here. To give myself a chance to see and to realize what I already know, which is the truth of who I am and what I am. That's all I need to know. Who I am and what I am. And that truth comes down to 3 things. I'm no one, I have nothing, and I'm going nowhere. I have no one, I have nothing, and I'm going nowhere. If you get that, you're free. If you see that, then your true nature will come alive again. We use the words peace and love and joy. We use these words, but the reality, the feeling, the state of consciousness comes alive. Because what sabotages, what kills these states of being is the belief that I'm someone, I'm trying to be someone, the belief that I have something, that's mine and that's mine and that's mine, and the belief that I'm going somewhere. Yes, I've got somewhere to go. Why am I not getting there? I should get there faster. No. The soul is so simple. Possesses nothing. Not trying to be anybody. And I'm going nowhere. Because I'm always here. I'm always here. I'm never anywhere but here. I'm never anywhere but right here. This is the essence for me of our journey. But every day these diseases, they tell me, there's an infection. I'm suffering from an infection. So I have to look behind. I have to do the work. Some people, they say, Mike, do we have to do all this work? Can I not just sit and remember Baba? Just have yoga, meditation. Let Baba take it. Let Baba do it. No, I have to do some work too, but it's challenging because the intellect is lazy. We have a kind of lazy intellect. Oh, I don't want to look. I don't really want to realize. Yeah, this is why we're here. I'm here. As I come to see for myself. I come to see in myself. And then I use Baba to help me do that. So in summary, the immune system of the body is a separate set of helper cells. The immune system of the soul is your own awareness, is the self. When there's disease in the body and it gets out of hand, we have to go and see a doctor, and the doctor will diagnose and prescribe treatment. When there's a disease in the soul, who is the doctor and who's going to prescribe the treatment? It's you. It's the self. We are our own doctors. The laboratory where we do our tests is our own consciousness. The treatment has to be applied within my consciousness. But then we have always available a consultant. Just like physical disease, you have consultants. So for the spiritual disease, we have our consultant. And the consultant is God. And the consultant is just a vibration. And when you give attention to that vibration, it's like looking in a mirror. When you look in a physical mirror, you can see the spots and the rashes. Ah, and the mirror tells you something out of place. So when I look, I vibrate in the mirror of God's vibration, I get a sense, actually, wow, it's like being in the presence of someone very calm, and they will mirror your agitation. And so Baba helps me to realize my dis-ease. Otherwise, we're, oh, I like a bit of disease, I like some stress, a bit of stress is okay. I like to cry sometimes, it's all right. Yeah, I like to be scared. Yeah, I sometimes go to the movies and I pay someone to frighten me. That's good, isn't it? Because we're so used to being in a state of dis-ease, it feels natural. Yeah. And the second role Baba plays is a little bit like at a physical level. What heals sometimes the body? The body needs energy to heal. And what is physical energy basically made up of? It's the energy of sunlight. Sunlight is the physical source of all physical energy. It's in the trees, it's in the cloth, it's in your fans. It's the sun that invested itself in everything physical. Everything. That's why a table is 1,000 sunlight hours. Yeah, you can calculate it, 1,000 sunlight hours in the wood in the table. And then it took sunlight energy to carve it, shape it, and so on. Yeah. But of course, the sun for the soul is the vibration of God. So just as the sunlight heals and energizes the body, so God's light heals and energizes the soul. With what? With the vibration of truth, the true vibration of pure love. Now we couldn't be aware of our dis-ease unless at the very core of our being there wasn't the original vibration of peace, of love, of joy. Because it's the contrasting dis-ease that allows us to be aware that this is disease. And it's in kind of contrast to my true nature. And so it's when Baba's presence is in my life, awakens my true inner vibration, and then I begin to see the disease very clearly. And it's not his job. Well, a little bit his job, but mostly my job to do the healing. Together, we work together. The consultant and the doctor and the patient become one. It's good, eh? Yeah, fantastic. So, there's 4 minutes left. Any questions? No, all clear. Fantastic. Okay, one question here. You have to shout it out. Shout it out. How what? Oh, that's a great question. Thank you very much. So there's three levels of flattery and then good. You're a good speaker, good entertainer, good writer, but how good are you at implementing this? Well, let me say that there's two answers to your question. I can answer from where I'm looking. But ultimately the answer has to come from where you're looking. From where I'm looking, if you met me 30 years ago, then my dis-ease was this size. Hugely dis-eased consciousness. Stress, sorrow, suffering, angry, very scared. I'd never have sat here. Four people, to talk to four people, I'd be in the toilet for 2 hours first. No, you laugh, really. It's how I started. So that means there's hope for everyone. Today, I'm still doing my work. I'm not there. No, definitely not. This is an endless, depthless journey. Yeah, there's no arrival, really. And the second answer to your question is that all I can say is watch, keep an eye on me, and as soon as you notice that I'm not, then you have permission to tell me. So that means everybody's going to be watching me at lunch, walking down the road. In fact, not just that, they'll come and test me. Come and press my buttons. There's an invitation. So it's a good question. Thank you. Anyone else? No. Wonderful. It's great. Okay. No. Just one more. Please. No. No applause. Thank you. But thank you. Shout a bit louder. Shout it. A bit louder. One question. Is this not available in the Murlis, what I've just said? The four things we have to do for ourselves. And the Murli is material, it's raw material. But we have to do four things. This is why very few people change. Very few. And everyone's talking about it out there. All your spiritual groups and philosophies and so on, they're all talking about change. But as this last question said, are you really changing? So in my experience, there has to be four things every day. Meditation, contemplation, application, and contribution. And when I bring these four together every day, then very slowly I wake up. This whole session has really been about awakening my awareness. Yeah. And the Murli is not the formula. It's just material. It's resource. It's information. It's not the truth. It's just a source of information which I take from my contemplation. Yeah. So it's meditation and contemplation. The word we use as Brahmins is study. To study something is to contemplate. Two things. I contemplate my experience. Why did I get upset? Why did I react to that person? Why did I feel stressed? So I'm contemplating my past experience. And I'm contemplating the ideas, the wisdom, the information of others. And that includes the Murli. So I take that. And I look at it and I call, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? What does that mean in my experience? How do I apply that to me? This is contemplation. And that awakens meaning. So meditation gives me access to my power. Contemplation, study, expands, deepens my sense of meaning. What does this mean to me? And from that comes realization. And then application, I walk out into the world to interact with people, and I get the chance to apply what I'm realizing. And then contribution is to reverse the energy of my consciousness. Since we were small, we have been totally programmed to believe that in life we have to get. Give me. I want. More. Accumulate. Our whole life is programmed around that. So contribution just means go somewhere and give your energy without wanting anything in return. It doesn't matter what it is. Charity, soup kitchen, teach, whatever. Just give your energy. And it reverses the flow of energy. Yeah, because we are designed to radiate energy, not bring the energy of the world to us. We're designed to give to the world, not accumulate the world. And so contribution begins to weaken and reverse the habit. of give me, give me, give me. So those four things. So when they're done together, very gradually the soul awakens. It awakens up. In my experience, just in my own experience. Yeah. It's good. I'm just a bit time conscious, and I know I can feel that there is a deep, deep dis-ease in the stomachs in this room. Because there's the belief that those stomachs should be nourished by some very healthy food. And so, shall we take a few more minutes of quietness together just to finish our time? No, it's okay. Shh. Thank you. But thank you. The sound of one hand clapping, you know that one? That's it, it's great. Thank you. Om Shanti.